Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com. Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The January crop production report is upon us. Will it change the marketplace next week? We'll ask that and many more questions today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Roy Huckabee from the Lynn Group in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. Please tell me the most important piece of information that you felt came into the marketplace for the week. Paul Cooley.
Well, I think it was basically related to China. And when China basically announced they were raising their interest rates, that had an important impact on the market. They also said they're going to basically sell up to 1 million tons of soybeans. And then the other China deal is they're basically restricting imports into their country. If you add all this up, it's an important gunshot over the bull's head in the soybean complex that it isn't business as usual, particularly with a big South American crop on the horizon.
And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group?
It kind of goes off of that somewhat as Bernanke basically made the comment this past week that to bankers that they need to be prepared for higher interest rates. So I think that is kind of a key driving force behind a strengthening dollar.
And Bill Gentry of Risk Management.
Yeah, the tightening of liquidity from China on Thursday night was pretty important, but also when you talk about the permit situation, it might be another gunshot down the road as an inventory management tool of releasing the inventory out of their stocks.
Can you explain that more to me, please?
Well, what it boils down to is right now they've been having these weekly auctions on Tuesday nights or whatever, and they haven't really been moving very much. Now, going down the road, they're going to basically restrict imports of beans into the country until they can start alleviating some of the stockpiles that they have.
Yeah, so if they restrict imports, of course, that restricts demand, and the price of beans should reflect that in Chicago. And in fact, this week it did reflect that in other opportunities as well, down 26 and three quarters of a cent in that nearby January contract. Had a high this week of $10.65 and a half, a low at $10.05. Jan beans settled 10.13. 26 and three quarters lower. November futures at $9.99, down 15 and a quarter. Paul Cooley, given all those numbers that we talked about from China and the idea that there's a big South America crop, and it seems to it might be that the trade's finally coming to that realization. Beans, while they were lower, weren't that sharply lower. 26 cents doesn't seem that much, and certainly 15 cents in the new crop doesn't seem like all that big a shot.
No, and the commodity funds are in there in overdrive buying and at least telling everybody that they're going to rebalance their inventory of commodity portfolio and add more agricultural products. And we understand the mutual fund industry is adding new hedge funds and with the idea of derivatives. We even hear the idea that the CFTC is going to come out with some interesting news next Thursday. But it's all said and done. Your point's well taken. But I think the problem is we're still shipping a lot of soybeans to China. The second thing is that I know my customers said And I've listened to the mockery in the office. If Cooley had a parrot, the three words he'd say, don't be long soybeans at this time. And, you know, I think the deal is that people are doing some things. You know, they've sold a lot of soybeans. They do get these reports of a big crop in South America. And if this isn't another warning shot, don't be long beans, Todd, from the Chinese, I think we have to take it into realization that we're close.
You think we're close? Is the end of $10 beans at hand?
Well, the chart picture is a little scary. I guess if you sit back and take a look at it, there is a potential head and shoulders top formation developing in that bean chart. But the way the market closed on Friday was somewhat supportive that maybe this market might not be quite ready to roll over. A lot of it will be what USDA probably gives us on Tuesday morning. And I've been around the markets enough that when it comes January report time, you know, fasten your seatbelt, about anything could happen. And this year could very well. We could see another round of acreage adjustments and whatnot. So about anything could come out of it. But the beans are so far in there. They're in an uptrend, but vulnerable here if we don't see some positive supply news.
You look like
that's something when the technical guys and the fundamental guys here are saying close.
Well, do you both have a downside objective? And maybe we'll get your answer on that one too, Bill.
Well, as far as the downside right now, I think it's the market could stabilize here rather quickly and maybe give us some more opportunities. But, you know, I think the beginning of this transition into a more negative phase is probably getting some traction.
All right. So I do have three that are neutral to bearish. Is that the way we want to claim
Certainly.
The three of you?
And,
yes.
You know, the other ironic thing here is we all know how cold it was, how much snow there was. And, you know, historically, you know, in the good old days, we'd, you know, a frozen river and tight beans and the processors need to buy beans to keep their plants going. You'd see a bean basis jump of 25 to 50 cents. And gee whiz, I didn't hear anything about that this time. So, you know, it was an interesting week from the weather and the news. And we do have a lot more news this coming week, so
Tuesday,
don't lack that.
On Tuesday, USDA reports are out, and for the soybeans at this point, the crowd says 43.2 on their average trade guess for final yield for the 09-10 soybean crop with a 3.3 billion bushel crop, 3.37. And USDA has said it was a 3319 back in December with a 43.3. So I guess the trade is thinking USDA is pretty close to right at this point. Are you in disagreement?
Well, the thing that the soybean thing is an interesting situation. I mean, there were some very, very strong yields at least early in the season, and they did fall off. And I had an old fraternity brother from Clark County, Illinois, Don Gwinnip. He sent me a note not too long ago telling me that it was his worst crop in 30 years of farming. So, but I think for the most part, the trade is kind of bracing for a little higher number, and I'm not too sure that the average is high enough.
I heard from a soybean farmer today that he had his best crop in all of his years of farming. So I suppose it's on both sides of that issue.
And I think that goes back to some of the things we've talked about previously about the variability in this year's crop. I mean, everybody that seemed to have the flat black, good ground, came back a little bit disappointed from the fields. And some of the guys with some more variable type soils or different kind of weather patterns were a little bit pleased.
Paul, what do you think about next week's crop production report? Will that average yield go up, and will it make a difference in total crop production?
My opinion is that we will see a bigger report. Now, is it going to be a bin buster like a Sparks of 100 million more bushels or not? I wonder about that, but I think it was a healthy report, a healthy yield, and I do think the government missed last, you know, the November production estimate. I think it's bigger. And I think we will see this come in on this next report. Now, if we're ready to go to the corn, I think we could debate the corn deal of being close here. The people in Iowa say they underestimated the corn, but we understand, you know, there's a big crop of corn still out in the field. There's going to be some loss there. The Illinois crop was very variable, but I did hear some tremendous yields in the south half of the state. The cool summer was a bingo for big yields in southern Illinois and Indiana, Kentucky. And in those areas, you know, I think the informed people basically say those other areas made up the big difference.
Average trade guess for the USDA crop production, this is a final number too, 12.819 billion bushels for production. USDA in December at 12.921. Yield from the trade, at least on the average as we head into this report, at 162.5. USDA's yield was a 162.9. You believe the guys in Iowa, and will it come out bigger?
I think the Iowa crop was bigger. And I think maybe the Illinois crop maybe could go down a bushel, but I think the Iowa crop is was bigger. Mainly, you know, they told me that, you know, that's what my contact said. Now, the problem is, of course, that crop in Minnesota and the Dakotas is scary. And, hey, we'll take whatever the government says, because this is a, you know, they do have the input to make a guess on this one.
Top of the trade range is 164.5. What kind of number are you working with?
Oh, I don't necessarily want to move too far off of probably what the average trade guess is.
162.5.
I do think, though, there is some room for some better demand numbers. So when it comes to the corn, I guess I would be like I said, I'm not going to be shocked if I see a surprise, but it may be more of a neutral type situation.
Bill, when we get to this, it looks like, as always, go, 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 go. At least I think it was in 2007, 8, 9, so 2010, a turnaround year?
I guess the bottom line, looking at the production figures, and I think the variability in the crop was kind of important. But the other thing, too, is when the USDA puts their year-end numbers together, what it sounds like is we heard this week that they're treating the corn in the field as on-farm storage. And that leaves only one variable to contend with, which is yield. So if you look at how many acres are still outstanding, you're probably going to have to dial that down. Now, to offset that a little bit, we did have one of my guys in North Dakota finished up this week, and from the beginning of his harvest to the end of his harvest, he only found about a 5% yield loss. So the standability was pretty good, and the crop stood up pretty well, at least to date.
All right, I think USDA will be pretty good on that. I think, I mean, they know where the unharvested acres are at. They will survey their farmers, and they will ask them what the yields are on those. So I think they'll get that one pretty close.
All right. Corn numbers this week, the March contract at a high of 426 and a quarter, a low at 413 and a quarter. March settled up 8.5 cents at $4.23. December corn at $4.49 on the new crop, up 8.25. Should producers be thinking about pricing more corn crop out from either old crop or new crop perspective?
Well, I think that definitely a couple of things. Let's back into that one.
Okay.
I would have already been sold. But
right.
What we're seeing here is that there was a lot of corn put to bed wet. And we're seeing that corn come into these elevators, and half of it has possibly been dried at maybe 18%. The rest of it's 20% and higher. The steam's still coming out of the dryers. We see a lot of piles that weren't covered. And I see a basis level in the interior that's dropping. I see export demand horrible. And you can only send so much corn to the ethanol plants. The livestock industry's in shambles. So the problem here is the only person that I see is bullish is the trend. And also commodity funds have been enormous buyers for the last 10 days to 2 weeks.
Now, he paints a pretty bleak picture. Are you there with him?
I will agree with his concerns. That the thing technically, though, and Paul did refer to it, the funds are buyers. The all your trend moving average systems are on the long side. Like I said before, when you come into a January crop report, You know, maybe we could come in with less harvested acres, and all of a sudden we find out that the balance sheet may not be quite as sloppy as what we think it is. So, chart-wise, if we want to start going higher, the door really opens up if we get some good solid closes above 4.25.
And that's one of the things we've been worried about, or not worried about, but working on, is rewarding market value. If you've got a balance sheet that works now that you didn't have going into harvest, this is the time to transfer your risk. Make the cash sales, move the inventory that's not going to store long term, and replace ownership with some options.
All right. Here's some of the rest of the numbers as they finished up. In Chicago on the week, in the wheat pit, the March contract at high for the week at $5.70, a low at $5.44. Settlement price was 27 cents higher at 568 and a half in the March. July at 592, that's the harvest month, up 24 and a half cents. From the CME livestock side, nearby Feb live cattle, a settlement price at 85.82 and a half, down 35 cents with a top of 86.80 and a bottom at 85.35. January feeders at 96.35 were up 50 cents on the week. Lean hogs, February contract, $68.10 the high. The low at $65.50, a settlement price at $65.50. It finished $1.65 higher on the day and the week. I'll return in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Frigid winter weather held tight to Illinois this week, keeping high temperatures mostly in the teens and low temperatures near or below zero. Temperatures this week across the state were running 15 to more than 20 degrees below normal. It warmed up briefly on Wednesday as winds turned southerly ahead of the next storm system, but warm in this case is only relative. High temperatures reached the low 20s in the southeastern half of the state, but remained in the teens in the northwest, where snow cover was deeper. The only significant precipitation this week was snow that produced by the system and raced through the Midwest beginning late Wednesday into Thursday. Snow from the system ranged from around 4 to a little more than 7 inches, with the heaviest amounts in an area from Galesburg to Peoria. The snow was followed by strong winds, which caused blowing and drifting of the snow, making travel hazardous. In addition, a reinforcing shot of Arctic air followed the storm as it departed the area. We could see another shot of snow late this weekend, but then it looks like winter will relax its grip on Illinois for at least a few days. Temperatures will moderate next week as the high pressure system moves off to the east and could actually be a little bit above normal by next weekend. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 8th, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today, Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services on Oakland, Illinois. On the phone line with us is Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group in Chicago. Thanks for taking the time with us today, Roy.
Thank goodness it's Friday.
Indeed. So was the China interest rates and moves on inflation the most important information you thought came into the marketplace for the week?
You know, I guess that if I back up and I look at the entire marketplace, I have to look at money flow. I think that there's still a concern in the trade, and I'm not talking about just the grain trade, but the world-moneyed people that are fearful of an inflationary environment brought about by a weak dollar. And if you're looking at interest rates starting to firm, I understand what China did. It was a very small move. But I understand also that here in the United States, the Fed warned all the banks that you better be careful if you're short interest rates. Short-term rates could be coming to an end at these lower levels. And I think that's very important, because if the United States has to pay a higher interest rate to service the debt that we've created, they got to print more dollars to do it.
Roy, it's always great to have you on Commodity Week. We understand that the CFTC is going to have hearings on position limits next Thursday. And well, do you think anything, you know, we hear these stories about maybe controlling limits on metals and also energy, but what's your take? I mean, are they going to go in there and put some teeth on the allowing funds not to be commercial status and their hedging, I mean, you know, as far as hedge inventories are concerned?
Have you listened to Gensler this week?
Well, help me. What was your opinion?
Well, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Okay.
He's put out all this talk about controlling inflation by controlling speculation, and he fired the one guy in his administration that said that speculative trade didn't create the environment of inflation last year. So I think they're going to do something, but it's kind of too late, too little. I responded this morning to questions about what they were going to do next week with, you know, these guys created this problem. They repealed Glass-Steagall. They took away the hedge limits. They allowed the index funds to trade beyond the typical spec limits. They've created this monster, and now they're talking about creating limits, so to kind of rein it in a little bit. They can't do that. They got to go back and fix all the original decisions.
Looking at the money flow that you're talking about, I know over the past 2 or 3 weeks, the market was talking about all this index fund buying that's going to happen here first of the year, and just kind of looking at the way the market performed going into it, it was a lot of people already had positioned for all of this fund buying, and at least the impact hasn't really shown up this week.
I guess that if you go back to the original announcements were made about the rebalancing of the commodity index for Goldman Sachs and for UBS almost a month and a half ago, and a lot of the people that bought the markets anticipating that got stopped out in the middle of December, when we had this big break in flat price. I suspect that we've added 70,000 open interest in corn in the past week. We've added about, I don't know, 12 or 13,000 in beans. We've added about 7 or 8,000 in wheat. And some of that is rebalancing. Some of it is new allocations. Goldman Sachs came in for their first day on the close today, and it looked to me like they bought about 8,000, maybe 10,000 contracts of corn. And they bought them all in the last 15 minutes, so the market rallied, what, 6 or 7 cents very rapidly. If you took the Commitment of Traders report apart tonight, the commodity hedge funds, they bought 5,000 contracts of wheat in Chicago and almost 2,000 in Kansas City. They bought 27,000 contracts of corn and 16,000 contracts of beans in the last week of December. So these guys are obviously still positioning, and I think that the speculative fervor still is for some exposure in the ag sector, maybe coming down somewhat in energies. And if you look at what the rebalancing in the GSI index was supposed to do, they're supposed to sell 40 or 50,000 contracts of crude oil. Crude oil's in the new highs this week.
I tell you what, looking at that along the same lines, technically this week the corn basically closed higher again and your open interest is soaring higher. What sort of expectation as far as potential open interest figures might we be looking at down the road?
Well, I'm telling people that once this buying is done that fundamentally the market's not going to be very well supported. If you go back and look at March corn in 08, March corn in 09, you see this beginning of the year balancing and entry of a commodity fund money into the trade. And once they get covered after 5, 6, 7 days, the market really loses direction and tumbles pretty hard. Mm-hmm. I think there's a potential for a dollar break in wheat, a dollar and a half break in beans, and maybe 50 or 60 cents in corn.
Certainly. Well,
if you come back, if I can bring you back to a fundamental outlook, now that I've told you that money flow is the most important thing. Now I come back and talk fundamentals. The U.S. wheat market is so overpriced that we're talking about bringing in feed wheat into Wilmington in the southeast again. We're even talking about, I can't confirm it, but we're talking about bringing milling wheat into the interior of the United States through the lakes to run the wheat mills out of Europe. And if the world wheat market is that much cheaper than our market, why is our futures market still making new highs?
Well, why do you think that's the case? And is that reflective of the problems that you may or may not see in the corn and the soybean market with the index funds, or is it a wholly different problem? I mean, does the wheat simply not reflect cash, soft red?
Todd, I'm sorry. I'm losing my connection here. If you can still hear me, would you say something?
Sure, I can. So is there a difference then between the disconnect in the marketplace for wheat as opposed to the disconnect that may or may not be there for corn and soybeans and the way index funds operate in the two?
Todd, I think that the only thing that I know to do here is bring the markets back to a limited speculative interest and allow the market to trade the fundamentals again. And the changes they've been making hasn't been able to do that. Variable storage rates in Chicago wheat does not create the environment that reduces the wheat crop and gets our wheat inventory down. It keeps encouraging farmers to plant wheat because the deferred prices are so much higher. You've got an 80, 90 cent carry in Chicago futures that encourages the farmer to go plant next year's wheat.
Roy, we're looking forward for the government's final production here. Give us your best opinion on the corn and soybean number.
Well, I think they have to do something to reduce harvested acres to represent what's in the field. They may come back and correct it in future times, but I see much bigger yields. I think that the corn crop is pushing 13 billion bushels, and I think the bean crop is also very, very strong. And once you get past Illinois, I think that the yields in both the East and the West have improved dramatically, and I think your bean production's up against 3-4. So if you want a yield number, you're talking about 44.5 or more on beans, and you're talking about a 164.5 on corn with a slight reduction in harvested acres.
Roy, we appreciate you taking the time with us today. Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. Joining us here on this Friday edition of Commodity Week was recorded the 8th day of January. A final word now from our panelist in studio, Paul Cooley of ADM Grain Group.
Commodities are fun business. Just look at orange juice.
Indeed. It's cold, isn't it? And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
I think the commodities are right at a point here where we're going to see some pretty big moves. And I think sometime next week we're going to find out whether it's going to be up or down.
And Bill Gentry at Risk Management.
Yeah, focusing on these technicals and fundamentals now, watching this transition is going to be real, real important. So that's kind of what we'll be focusing our attention on.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Again, our thanks to Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois, our panelists in studio, including Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Something to keep in mind if you'd like to come to the Corn and Soybean Classic series of extension meetings this week. I'll be on the road with them. On Monday, we'll be in Springfield at the Crown Plaza at the Doubletree on Tuesday in Bloomington, Illinois. We'll move north to Moline in the iWireless Center on Wednesday, and we'll be in Malta at Kishwaukee College on Thursday. Open registration at 8 o'clock. Show starts at 9. It's a day-long event. $75 and walk-ins are welcome. You have a great day and a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.